Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, here on a must-win Wednesday in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Canucks and Calgary Flames coming up. We'll get to pregame just after 5 o'clock. Kevin Woodley going to join us at 4:30. If you're listening on podcast, we do appreciate you as well. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. That's where you can get in touch with the show as a live listener. Looks like Quinn Hughes is going to play tonight.
Yeah, it really looks like it. The head coach says he's a good possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much desperation time because Kevin Lankinen is also starting.
It's not even a week past the deadline, Sat.
No, but it's like,
not even a week past the deadline.
No, and we're
talking must win.
Yeah, yeah.
There's 18 games left.
It kind of is must win. I mean, it's not like you're eliminated, but think of it this way. The Canucks lose and the Flames win their game in hand. The Canucks will be five back. And considering how difficult it is for the Canucks to score goals and win hockey games right now.
Yeah.
Do you feel confident about them having to overcome a 5-point deficit potentially with 16, 17 games to go? Like, there's not, you get to a point where they have to go 12-4 to make the playoffs or something. That's very difficult. You know what I mean? Like, that, you don't want to be in that position.
So the way I view it right now, like, and take out like the individual matchups, right? Which do have more importance to them because you're giving points up to your direct opponents in the standings. But let's just look at it as, how many points do you have to get to?
Probably 90.
Like if you want to get to 93, you got to be 12-6.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, throw the overtime losses in and maybe you're 11-5-1. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
12-6. 93 probably gets you in. Like right now,
you need 24 points.
Right now, the pace is what, 90?
Yeah.
I think to make the playoffs. So 93 to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
You need 12 more wins. And you have 18 games to go already as it is.
Yeah.
So if you lose tonight, again, how likely is it the Canucks go 12-5 or 12-4? You know, that it becomes,
when you can't score more than 3 goals a game, there's no chance you're getting that kind of a record. All right. Sorry to like bring everybody down here on a Wednesday.
I don't think we are bringing anybody down. Like Lee says, is it normal to feel indifferent for a must-win game? I mean, there is some apathy setting in. There's lots of anger and frustration.
Yes. Apathy seems to be, you know what? I'm going to say apathy, not quite there yet. My mentions very much feel like there is still some anger.
There is anger
left over right now. People haven't given up yet.
No,
but they're just very angry at how this season is going.
That's what your mentions are full of?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I was going to say, you know how, because Quinn Hughes is coming back, and if, when Quinn Hughes plays, everyone feels better about life.
Yeah.
So if Quinn Hughes returns and the Canucks lay a licking on the Flames tonight, maybe, just maybe, everyone will feel a lot better about things.
So is there a reason that was your choice of words, Sat?
I mean, I know what, I mean, John was mentioning your mentions.
Nikita Zadorov.
Did he almost kill Sam Bennett?
Absolutely takes Sam Bennett behind the dumpster and gives him a good old butt licking. Whatever you want to call it. Is butt licking. Ass kicking. Whatever you want to call it.
Stop it.
It is pretty bad.
I'm sorry, what?
Yep. Gives him a good old butt licking.
So the big is me being like, I didn't mean to say that.
And just the way
those
you said
were the
it
wrong
too.
Words.
You're just so excited about
man, Zaddy really, he did put a good whooping.
But
on
you had something on your mind all day. You had the whole Zamboni thing.
Maybe having a little bit too much fun with that.
I don't know where you were spending your time, but I know your mind was elsewhere yesterday, Reach. Are you more focused today?
Jeremy says,
waiting for today's Freudian
slip. I think that was AI. You guys just like, you produced this with AI. This didn't happen. This didn't happen live.
How dare you think that I would stoop to AI? I am a professional of 6 months into this industry.
And also, like, I'm not sure they would be able to figure it out anyways. So,
I'm a good teammate. Take some of the attention off my co-host Sat here.
Don't bring me into this. No, not with this.
I'm doing anything to deflect right now.
Good day.
No. Yeah, that's, I mean, see, that was innocent.
Fair.
It was just, I said, mate.
Hey, Elias, great stuff today, mate.
Yeah.
I can't even recreate that if I wanted to.
No.
Yeah. I don't think I could say Nate.
I don't think I could recreate whatever it was that I said last night ever again. And I'm forever going to be terrified by it.
Yeah, he's not going to say butt kicking. He's not going to bring up butt anymore.
No.
He's just going to say however from now on. However.
Yep. Just you know, next time Nikita Zadorov gets into a fight with somebody and beats the snot out of them, I'm just gonna stay out of it. That's
Didn't mean to say lick the snot out of them?
Okay, come on.
Yeah. Now you've overdone it. Thanks, Dom.
Gives him a good old butt licking today, Mike.
You really had to. Yeah. You really had to slow it down, didn't you? All right, let's get to the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Four! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Yes, it's the open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest is they're headed into Calgary. Well, they're in Calgary getting ready for the game. A couple of hours away from puck drop against the Flames. Kevin Lankinen starting the second half of the back-to-back. And Quinn Hughes is going to play for the Vancouver Canucks. That is the expectation. Skated this morning in Calgary. And the Canucks are treating it as a must-win game. We'll hear from Rick Tocchet in just a couple of moments in the Canucks Central Roundup. But this team cannot score goals if their lives depended on it right now. And pretty soon, their playoff lives are depending on it.
Yeah, they scored two.
They can't score enough to win games.
No, they
consistently.
They definitely can't.
Okay, if you can't score more than three goals in a game, you're in trouble.
Yes.
Even in a league that is trending towards lower scoring than it was a year ago. I know Calgary is a lower scoring team than the Vancouver Canucks, which is really hard to imagine, but the Canucks are mired in a 15-game stretch where they've scored three goals or fewer in each of those 15 games. Calgary has had one such streak this year where they went 25 straight games scoring three or fewer. And that team is going to beat you to the playoff race? That's how disappointing this season is for the Vancouver Canucks. And for as much as like you can look at some of the things last night and be like, yeah, there's some positives there. I tweeted it out. The clip of Elias Pettersson scoring that goal on the power play. He's directing traffic, calling his own number. It's like, what? Who is this guy? I've missed this. Petey, where you been? It's been so long. It's nice to see you be assertive on the ice. I'm loving this.
And it's like one shift.
And it's one shift. Guy hasn't scored a five on five goals since I don't know when. He's got five all season. But I was like, this is a positive. And it came in a game where I knew the Canucks weren't going to eventually mount enough of a comeback to overcome the three-goal deficit they found themselves in. It's like, yeah, you outshot your opponent. Pettersson's line was what, like 25-4 shot attempts with Pettersson on the ice last night. That's great. You know, you do that game on game on game, you're going to start having better results. But at this point of the season, it's like I can't take moral victories for the Vancouver Canucks.
No, it's about results.
Yeah.
You know, and even the other night against the Dallas Stars, you could say they may have deserved a better fate, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you need the result. You need to find a way to, in a game where you had as many scoring chances as you did, you only scored one goal. You're not going to win hockey games doing that.
No.
You know, and that's ultimately what it comes down to. It's you have to finish, you have to get results. And the Canucks actually had a cushion at one point this season. It seems far way ago, right? But
Oh my goodness. They
had that start. They were on pace for like 106 points, right? Or 102 points for a while. And this was 20 games into the season. And that built them up a cushion that is now completely evaporated. And now you're at a deficit. And this is kind of who they've been. I don't feel very optimistic. People ask, Tommy B is asking, do you guys want them to make the playoffs? Why does it even matter? We've gone through this. I think there is value for these players to be in the playoffs. Like, we're not talking about pre the Pettersson year when they had the Sedins and Besser was the only young guy on the team and they're trying to make the playoffs and they didn't have the next future wave of players. Then it's like, who cares about making the playoffs? Because you're not going anywhere. You're not building towards anything. You need to fully rebuild anyways. And hey, maybe this team has to face a full rebuild in a year if Quinn Hughes decides he doesn't want to be here. That reality may set in. I know it's a big talking point. We may not be that far away from it here, guys, right? But I think there is value for Hughes to get better in the playoffs than he was last year, have another crack at it. Pettersson get a crack at it. Guys like DPD, guys like John Lekromäki, I would be very happy for them to get a few playoff games, get that experience. Young players seldom have success in the playoffs. It'd be nice for them to get that out of the way this year at least, and maybe next year or in the future they can build towards something. So we're talking about guys who are going to be here, so I think there is tangible benefits for these guys to make the playoffs and get there, and I do hope they make the playoffs. But I don't feel very confident.
No.
Now, maybe I'll feel more confident if Quinn Hughes can lead them, reach, and Pettersson can stay hot. If those things happen, yes. But there hasn't been any consistency in getting there. And until that happens, how can you feel confident about how this team is going? Because they've been a bad hockey team now for the better part of 4 months.
Basically, for the first time all season, they are plus money to make the playoffs with the Vegas books.
Yeah.
That really hasn't happened at all this year. And, yeah, getting Quinn Hughes back, it might give you a chance. I think it's unfair to expect Quinn Hughes to get back to, like, the heart-level player he was earlier this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, too. And, I mean, I don't want to be pessimistic, honestly, because Quinn's coming back tonight. But I mentioned this to IMAC last night. He just had another injury.
Yeah.
He's not going to be 100%.
And he's got the hand injury. He's got the oblique. Now there's a lower body injury. I was like, well, this guy's like a body cast right now.
Yeah. And is he going to be able to stay in the lineup?
Yeah.
Is it asking too much to have back-to-backs coming up this weekend? Like, I'm not even confident that Quinn can stay in the lineup. So, again, like, the challenges here are very large for the Vancouver Canucks. There are a lot of them they have to overcome to make the playoffs here. And I'm hoping that it does turn and it does happen. But it's getting harder and harder.
So the storyline is mostly the same every night. You know, they can't score. And other teams' top players, top lines make the difference. It's been a recurring theme all season long. And I know I'm not the only one saying this and the only one who's noticed it. We've all noticed it. Even like when Rick Tocchet speaks post game, he's talking glowingly about Montreal's top line and they converted their chances. We didn't have an answer for them. It's like he's yearning for his players to do that because he hasn't had it really almost at any point this year outside of maybe a handful of games where you had JT playing pretty well.
Yeah.
But it never happened consistently for this group at the top of their lineup. And like tonight against Calgary, like, they don't really have a top line you should be all that afraid of. Like Kadri and Huberdeau, okay. Coronado is looking like a decent young player for them. Like, but they don't have a top line, not even like Montreal with Suzuki and Caulfield. That shouldn't be an excuse tonight, but it's an excuse every single night for this team because their top players just have not been good enough. And because it's been more than 60 games now this season that their top forwards have been mostly MIA. How can I expect that to change here in the final 19, 18 games of the season?
The only way is if Quinn we know how big of a difference Quinn makes. Even Quinn at 80%.
Well,
but
Quinn
again,
gives you that high end.
He does, but how can he stay in the lineup? And then the other one's Pettersson. We've gone through all this, right? And obviously the elephant in the room has been the whole Besser situation.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's texting in and says, I can't believe you guys don't call out Besser at all. I mean, we spent the better part of the postgame show last night on Besser, and he was downright bad last night. Like, you can look at his analytics, and he had, what, plus 70 Corsi or whatever it was, but you watch the game and watch the tape.
Well, he had the giveaway in the first minute that puts the Canucks on the back foot.
And he just had a hard time with the puck all game. He was hesitant a lot of the time. It was really Drew O'Connor's speed and Pettersson last night that allowed them to dominate possession when they did. And really, when Pettersson was away from Besser too, he had a lot of success. And we saw him get away from O'Connor and play with Hoglander. And we can talk about Hokie at some point too, maybe playing more than he has when we did the other night. But Besser has really fallen off.
Yeah.
And even more so since the trade deadline, it looks like. And you kept this guy to help you out. He's not helping you at all. And again, like, we can blame him all we want. That's fine. And he's worth criticism because of how he has played and hasn't performed. But like we talked about, has the organization been able to provide a good environment for Besser this season either too?
No. It's just been...
It's been pretty tough. So I think, like,
one haymaker after another.
So it's, you know, how does he feel? He probably feels not very supported. And he also feels not very confident because of how things are going. So that's a pretty tough situation to be in. And listen, the players and the coach can say whatever they want, but if you feel disrespected by the organization, you feel disrespected, you know, and we can sit here and justify the actions one way or another, but it has created a situation now that you kept a guy past the deadline and he doesn't even look very effective.
No.
And how do you get him to be effective to actually help you to make it worthwhile that you kept him past the deadline?
Ultimately, it comes down to Besser.
Like, it does, but that's
he's got to be the one that like, hey, you want more than the $40 million that was offered to you last year. You got to play better because I'm not sure that contract's going to be on the table for you in the summer. In that same way, if you finish the season going like this,
I've been saying, you've been making the point too that there are only so many players in free agency, but I'm skeptical about him getting this plus $50 million offer.
Yeah.
I can see somebody offering him 7x7, but that's why I've been saying here about Besser and the Canucks, if they actually went to 45 or so million, and I know Elliot mentioned that too, but if they kind of went to that range, he'd sign, because I don't think his market is going to be incredible. And you're right, it doesn't make it a lot better now, but teams only have so many options. And a team, and people are saying, like, what about teams that didn't offer anything for him at the deadline? Why would they sign him? Well, teams may not justify paying a price and the contract.
Yeah.
They may do one or the other, but not both
sometimes,
right? So I think that's what, you know, sometimes you have to consider when you get to free agency. But for the Canucks, forget about where he goes and how much money he makes. How does he fit here? He doesn't.
Right now, there's no fit for Besser on this roster. And it's a big-time problem. Because you're a week out, you know, you've now played three games since the deadline passed. Besser's been ineffective in all three. He's been bad. He's been called out by the coach to some level. And he hasn't done anything to help you. So the second round pick, you might have said, hey, that second round pick doesn't help us much right now. But at the same time, Brock Besser hasn't helped you much either through these three games since the deadline. All right, let's get to the Canucks Central Roundup. Kevin Lankinen will start tonight, and Quinn Hughes, hallelujah, will be playing for the Vancouver Canucks as they need it in a must-win game against the Calgary Flames. Let's hear from head coach Rick Tocchet here as he spoke not too long ago with media in Calgary.
Expect him to be in the lineup tonight?
Yeah, there's a good possibility. I saw him this morning. He looks good. So there's a good possibility he'll be in the lineup tonight. And then regards to some other guy lineups, we had a couple of game time decisions. Some guys are banged up. I don't know. I honestly at this point don't know if they're playing, so there'll be game time decisions.
Whether you're starting
goalie? Lanks will be tonight.
I'm sure you've been asked about this a lot, but from a standpoint of your room and the Brock Besser situation,
yeah,
is it confusing or is it not even a factor at all, Bob?
No, I think it's made up more than it is. You know, when you're involved with hockey for a lot of years, you go through contract negotiations. It's part of the business, trade deadline, part of the business. And, you know, it's something that you got to deal with as a player. Brock's done a great job for us. And he's, you know, maybe it has affected a little bit what we've talked about it, but he's a pro. And, you know, he's here to win some hockey games and score some goals for us.
How about this matchup tonight? I mean, it seems like you guys are all one of the team that's occupying the spot, and you've been going neck and neck all season.
Yeah.
How do you kind of play comfortable while being uncomfortable? It just seems like your group is almost the same as that group.
Well, you got to play uncomfortable, and to be in the playoffs, play in the playoffs, or you know, play important games on. You have to play uncomfortable, and be willing to win tight games. You know. I've been impressed with the Flames all year. Their work ethic, they're a hard-working team. These guys have come in this year, and I don't know if they surprised some people or not. I think they have a really good hockey team, and they're playing together. So it's a dogfight, and we're going to have a dogfight tonight.
Do you need a Game 7 speech?
For tonight?
Yeah.
Well, I'm running out of them. but, no, I think, you know, at this time of the year, coaches got to be careful they don't overcoach. And you got to really rely on the room to take over in these situations. Don't get me wrong, you know, I got a great leader in Adam Foote there, and Sergei Gonchar when he's around the Twins. So we got some great leadership in the coaches' room. But you got to let these guys grow in there, and we got some good young leaders in there that we're looking forward to playing these pressure games. These are good for development guys too, and I'm sure the Flames are saying the same thing.
Rick, you guys haven't been great on back to back.
Yeah.
How do you try to fix that as a coach?
Yeah, I think. When bad things happen on back-to-backs, you can't let it fester. If it's a bad goal, a couple of bad penalties or something like that, you know, you got to really calm the waters down. You know, sometimes during back-to-backs, you know, 12-foot waves are really only six. You can't act like they're 12-foot waves. We always talk about that. You know, they're not. It's not that bad. So I think you got to calm things down. And us coaches can help the players, too, to calm the waters down, too.
Thank you.
Good guess. Okay.
Calm the waters down. And Canucks are in a dogfight.
Yeah.
According to head coach Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, he dropped a dogfight. He dropped the Game 7 speeches.
He's running out of Game 7 speeches.
He's pulled every card out of his bag of tricks. Like, there's nothing else he can pull out.
How many games do we have left? And he's run out of Game 7 speeches?
At this point, he's just putting the Herb Brooks speech from Miracle on repeat every time he needs a speech.
Maybe switch it up. Like, let's get Al Pacino and Friday Night Lights. You know? Or not Friday Night Lights.
Dude, Al Pacino and Friday Night Lights would be so sick.
Yeah, any given Sunday.
Any given, got to fight for every inch. Claw for that inch.
Yeah, that's an all-timer right there.
Could you imagine Al Pacino being like, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose? That'd be sick.
It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Yes, Canucks and Flames. Dustin Wolf expected to start on the other side. Flames are ahead of the Canucks in the standings.
Yeah.
So that makes this one a pretty big one and essentially a must win. I want to leave some extra time to speak with Kevin Woodley, who is our goalie guru and is coming up next here on a Wednesday. So we'll get to that. Kevin Woodley, NHL.com and InGoal Magazine next on Canucks Central.
God. Behind the dumpster and gives him a good old butt licking, ass kicking, whatever you want to call it. Is pretty bad.
Our prices have never been lower.
Son, you have to talk louder.
Never been lower.
Louder, son!
Buttlicker! Our prices have never been lower!
Stop it! Stop it! That is totally inappropriate.